Madhava Kunja Vihara. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihara. Gopi janna valabha girivana jaya. Gopi janna valabha girivana jaya. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjavihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjavihari. Pijana Valava Girivana Jaya. Pijana Valava Girivana Jaya. Yashoda Nandana Brajajana Randana. Yashoda Nandana Brajajana Randana. Yamunatira Valachari. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjavihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjavihari. Gopi janna valabha girivana jaya. Gopi janna valabha girivana jaya. Yashoda Nandana Brajajana Randana. Yashoda Nandana Brajajana Randana. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Yamuna Tira
Ya. Sometimes the five Paramahamsa the Kari Dakacharya, as the Kari Dakacharya, His Divine Grace, the A.C. Bhakti, the Swami, the Kuro Bhaj, Ramana, the Namacharya, the Hardas Thakur, Ki Jai, Iskan, Kandra, Acharya, Sila Prabhupada, Ki Jai, Prem, the Kahosha, Krishna, Chaitanya, Prabhu, Nityananda, Shri, Vaita, Gadadhar, Shri, Vasati, Gaur, Bhakti, the Ki Jai, Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gopiya Samakam Radhakam Guru Gopiyam Ki Jai Shri Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai Shri Maya Parav Dham Ki Jai Ganga Maya Ki Jai Jamuna Maya Ki Jai Tulsi Devi Ki Jai Bhakti Devi Ki Jai Samavira Bhakti Vinda Ki Jai Chastana Book Distribution Ki Jai Haninam Sankirtan Ki Jai Go Premanandi All glory to some devotees, all glory to some devotees, all glory to some devotees, all glory to glory Shri Shri Guru and Shri Gauranga. Nice to have so many gardenia flowers. In Los Angeles, Prabhupada would arrive and they'd have these long gardenia that would go down to his knees, these thick gardenia garlands. And Sutakirti said at night Prabhupada would take rest and he would have that garland next to his head. He liked the smell of these gardenias. Of course, everybody does, I think. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So this morning we're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 2, Text Number 14. Yavan na jayeta paravare smin visvesvare drastari bhakti yogaha tava staviya Purusasya Rupam Priyavasane Prayata Smarita Yavanna Jayeta Paravaresmin Visvesvare Jastri Bhakti Yoga Tava Taviya Purusasya Rupam Priyavasane Prayata Smarita Yavanna Jayeta Paravaresmin Visvesvare Trasthi Bhakti Yoga Avasariya Purusasya Rupam Priyavasane Prayata Sarita Yavanna Jayeta Paravaresmin Visvesvare Jastri Bhakti Yoga Tavasaiya Purusasya Rupam Priyavasane Prayata Smarita Purusasya Rupam Priyavasane Prayata Smarajita Priyavasane Prayata Smarajita Yavanna Jayeta Paravaresmin Yavanna Jayeta Paravaresmin Visheshare Drashtari Bhakti Yoga Visheshare Drashtari Bhakti Yoga messages. Yavat, as long as,
na
does not,
jayeta,
develop,
para,
transcendental,
avare,
mundane,
asmin,
in this form of,
Vishva
Ishvare,
the Lord of all worlds,
Drashtari,
unto the seer.
Bhakti Yoga.
Devotional service.
Tava.
So long.
Staviyaha.
The gross materialist.
Purushasya.
Of the Virat Purusha.
Rupam.
Universal form.
Kriya Avasane.
At the end of one's prescribed duties,
prayataha,
with proper attention,
smarita,
one should remember.
Translation and purport. By His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada ki,
unless the gross materialists develop a sense of loving service unto the Supreme Lord, the seer of both the transcendental and material worlds, he should remember or meditate upon the universal form of the Lord at the end of his prescribed duties.
Purport.
The Supreme Lord is the seer of all worlds, both material and transcendental. In other words, the Supreme Lord is the ultimate beneficiary and enjoyer of all worlds, as confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita 5:29. The spiritual world is the manifestation of his internal potency, and the material world is the manifestation of his external potency. The living entities are also his marginal potency, and by their own choice, they can live in either the transcendental or material worlds. The material world is not a fit place for living entities because they are spiritually one with the Lord. And in the material world, the living entities become conditioned by the laws of the material world. The Lord wants all living entities who are His parts and parcels to live with Him in the transcendental world. And for enlightening conditioned souls in the material world, all the Vedas and the revealed scriptures are there, especially to recall the conditioned souls back home, back to Gaya. Unfortunately, the conditioned living entities, although suffering continually the threefold miseries of conditioned life, are not very serious about going back to Godhead. It is due to their misguided way of living, complicated by sins and virtues. Some of them, who are virtuous by deeds, begin to reestablish a lost relationship with the Lord. But they are unable to understand the personal feature of the Lord. The real purpose of life is to make contact with the Lord and be engaged in His service. That is the natural position of living entities. But those who are impersonalists and are unable to render any loving service to the Lord have been advised to meditate upon His impersonal feature, the Virat Rupa, or universal form. Some way or other, one must try to re-establish one's forgotten relation with the Lord if one at all desires to gain real happiness in life and to reclaim his natural, unfettered condition. For the less intelligent beginners, meditation on the impersonal feature, the Virat Rupa, or universal form of the Lord, will gradually qualify one to rise to personal contact. One is advised herewith to meditate upon the Vira Rupa specified in the previous chapters in order to understand how the different planets, seas, mountains, rivers, birds, beasts, human beings, demigods, and all that we can conceive are but different parts and limbs of the Lord's Virat form. This sort of thinking is also a type of meditation on the Absolute Truth. And as soon as such meditation begins, one develops one's godly qualities, and the whole world appears to be a happy and peaceful residence for all the people of the world. Without such meditation on God, either personal or impersonal, all good qualities of the human being become covered with misconceptions regarding his constitutional position, and without such advanced knowledge, the whole world becomes a hell for the human being. Om Agyanatam Anandasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chakshum Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Mukram Kurta Vatalam Kamrim Lung Hayate Vim Yatkipa Taraham Vande Shigurum Dinataranam Vancha Kapa Tri Vishcha Kripa Sindhu Vyevacha Patitanam Bhavane Vyo Vaishnava Vyo Namaha Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasati Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Prabhupada says in the purport here, the material world is not a fit place for living entities. What was it Bhaktivinoda Thakur said? The material world is a weird abode. And Bhakti Siddhanta says, what did Thakur say? It's no place for a gentleman. Not a nice place. But somehow we have ended up here. And Krishna says here that he wants to bring the living entities back to him. In another place, when Lakshmi Prabhupada said that Krishna, he's feeling some pain. Believe it or not. Because his sons and daughters, they're here in this world suffering. So I can imagine there's a father with many sons, say six sons, and one of them goes bad. Five are good, obedient, nice sons. One goes bad, just goes out and becomes a drunkard, and he's taking drugs and womanizing and just doing all kinds of criminal activities. It'll give the father some pain to have a son like that that's gone off so bad. And he's expressing this to one of his good sons. And this good son decides, well, let me help this brother of mine. So he goes out and he finds him. And he rents an apartment, and he brings his brother in there, and he gradually tries to help him out of his darkness. And gradually, after months and months, he kind of comes back to being a normal person. And he takes him back to his father, and the father is so happy to see him, a normal son again. Imagine the joy that the father will have towards this son that went out of his way to help his brother. So that's actually the position of the devotees that are going out and distributing books and preaching. And therefore, Krishna says, Ya idam paramam guyam mad bhakte sabhasasya. He says, anybody who preaches this message of Bhagavad Gita is most dear to me, and there'll never be anyone more dear to me than that person. Because Krishna's concerned. His parts and parcels are out here in this material world, suffering material existence. So he wants to help, therefore he comes. Yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata abhyutanam dharmasya tadatmanam sajam raham. whenever and wherever there's a predominant rise of irreligion and decline of religious practice, at that time I descend. So Krishna comes himself to help us, parts and parcels, and he leaves us the wonderful Bhagavad Gita, which has inspired so many people to become devotees of Krishna. And he sends his pure devotees, Srila Prabhupada, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Bhakti Nod Thakur, so many, six Goswamis, so many great personalities are sent to help us back home, back to Godhead. We can't do it on our own. We need help. And therefore, Lord Chaitanya, when he was preaching to Sanatana Goswami, he says, Maya Mugdha, Jivara Nahaspati Krishigyan, Jivara Kupoya Kola Krishna Veda Puran, that one cannot revive one's Krishna consciousness on one's own. Therefore, Krishna comes and he gives us the Vedic literatures, the Puranas, to help us. Imagine if we didn't have the Bhagavad Gita. We didn't have the Srimad Bhagavatam. Prabhupada had not come. I mean, and then we're trying to understand Krishna, we're trying to understand God. It's not going to happen. We got so much guidance from Srila Prabhupada. So much guidance from Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita. So Krishna is trying to help us back home. He wants to see us happy again in his service. So here it says, in the translation, it says that unless the gross materialist develop a sense of loving service unto the Supreme Lord, the seer of both the transcendental and material worlds, he should remember and meditate upon the universal form of the Lord at the end of this, of his prescribed duties. So who are the gross materialists? Practically the whole world is covered by gross materialists, engaged in eating, sleeping, mating, defending. Practically the whole world. So Prabhupada compared them to crows. The crows, they're interested in going to filthy places and getting filthy things to eat, dirty. But then there's another bird, the swan. And the swan is like, I was in Zurich some years ago, Switzerland, and a nice river there, and there were so many swans, and there were so many nice flower bushes, and it was very beautiful. The river was very clean. So the swan and the crow aren't birds of the same feather. So Prabhupada said, our mission is to turn the crows into swans. It's a big challenge. But Prabhupada, he was able to do it because of that purity. He had that purity to turn crows into swans. It's stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Nayad Vachishtam, Param Hiryasa, Jagat Pavitam, Praganita Karachi, Tidvayasam Tirtam, or something like that, Nayanta Hansa, Nayamant Yusukseyaha. That literature which does not give description of the glories of the Lord are said by sages to be placed in pilgrimage for crows. On the other hand, that literature which does give descriptions of the glories of the Lord are of another creation, directed towards bringing about a revolution in the impious lives of this world's misdirected civilization. So that's what these books do. They create a revolution in the hearts of the living entities who read these books. I remember myself, it happened to me. Someone asked me if I could say how I came to Krishna consciousness, and it's very much in relation to this verse. I was in Los Angeles with millions of other crows, And I went to one friend's home, and there was a yogi speaking on television. And he was talking about meditation and yoga. And I thought, oh, this is kind of interesting. And they had a place there in Los Angeles where you can go and you can learn more. So I went to this place in Los Angeles. Many of you probably are aware that it's called Transcendental Meditation. So I went there, and you're supposed to hear for 3 days what they have, and then after 3 days, if you want, you could buy a mantra. Well, back then, 1978, it was only $120. Yeah, only $60 for each syllable, two syllables. Only $60. Now it's $1,200. $600 for each syllable. Inflation. Yeah. $1,200. That's right. Inflation. So I got my mantra. You know, in the West, we're very naive about these things. We don't know you don't buy mantras. So. Prabhupada said, I could have made so much money. How many syllables are in the Hare Krishna mantra? 32? I think 32 syllables. Eh? Could have made so much money, right? But he said, I've not come here to cheat you, but I've come to give you. To give Krishna. So I got my mantra, I was doing a meditation, I was at 20 minutes in the morning, 20 minutes in the evening. But it kind of helped me kind of slow down, you know, Southern California kid. So it kind of helped me, you know, slow down a little bit. I started reading books on philosophy and yoga and meditation and all kinds of... I got this book by Baba Ram Das, the famous American guru back then. I think it was Be Here Now. And I decided that L.A. is probably not such a good place for spiritual life. So I decided to leave looking for a paradise. That was my goal, to find a paradise. You know, leave L.A. and go look for spiritually minded people. So I could learn with others. So I went traveling. And in the book, he mentions that as one advances in spiritual life, one becomes detached from material things and money and just all these, to become detached. And I thought, all right, that makes sense. You go on a spiritual journey and you become detached from material things. It makes sense. So I'm traveling and someone stole all my things. And I thought, okay, that's good. Yeah. The process is working without my even endeavoring. Things are taken away. All right, this is good. So I decided to go to the Bahamas. Thinking that would be a good place for my spiritual life. Boy, was it a wake-up. It was terrible. Very materialistic. Terrible. I was there for one night and decided to leave the next day. But before I left, someone stole all my money. But I was thinking, wow, this is really good. I was so happy. I was so happy because I had nothing now. But I knew I'm on this spiritual journey. And I'm never going to go back again to material life. I was convinced. This is it. My life is going through a complete change now. And I was so happy. I'd never been so happy. I had nothing. But I was so happy because I knew something wonderful was going to happen. So I was anticipating the next page to open. So somehow I still had my ticket and I had this book. And my passport, that's about it, right? I flew back to Miami, not knowing where I'm going. So I'm hitchhiking. The guy picks me up and he says, hey, where are you going? I don't know. I'm on this journey. I don't know where I'm going, but I like it. So he said, well, you're going to need money wherever you go. Then we go down to Key West, get a job. I took that as some higher power guidance. All right, I went down to Key West, got a job. Still reading this book by Baba Ram Das, finished it. In the back of the book, he had books recommended to read. And one of them was Bhagavad Gita. And when I saw those two words, Bhagavad Gita, I thought, that looks like a very interesting book. And he had mentioned it also in the book. So I went to the public library, 4 different Bhagavad Gitas. Now what? Fortunately, the BBT made ours more attractive, so I pulled out Prabhupada's. Otherwise, who knows where I'd be now. So I pulled out Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita. It was actually the abridged. Remember, some of you might remember the yellow back, abridged. Didn't have all the purports. It was maybe it was Macmillan's. Didn't have all the purports. Yellow back. It was yellow back. It was a cover. It was a paper cover of yellow back. So I when I was reading that, I was like, "This is it. This is it. This is my the end of my journey. This is it, Bhagavad Gita." So yeah, I was just like, Prabhupada's purports and Krishna's statements were just so powerful that I was completely convinced Krishna's God. So from reading the Bhagavad Gita, I started chanting Hare Krishna. I threw out the Iyengar mantra, threw that one out the window, the transcendental meditation. It wasn't transcendental. It was a material vibration. Useless. So I started chanting Hare Krishna. I had this job where there was nobody around, so I was just chanting Hare Krishna all day long. And Krishna was giving me some mercy. I got a spiritual high there. You know, Krishna give you some preliminary nectar, you know, when you first start out, just give you a little taste. You know? So I got that little taste. I just loved it. So after 3 days of chanting like this, I went outside the exit of my where I was working, and devotees were there doing Harinam. 100 yards away from the exit. Mahananda, you know Mahananda. He was there with Lanka Vijay. Maybe some of you know, big black Lanka Vijay. Some of you don't know. So they were doing bhajan there. So I went over to him and said, "Hey, you guys are chanting the same mantra as I chant." And so Mahananda, he preached me for a couple hours and he said, "You know, we have a center here. If you want, you can come and move in." Then all right. So I moved in that night. Him and also Sri Maya. Maybe some of you know Sri Maya. He was there. There was the three of them. They just had a little thing, you know, just for association, a little apartment there. And then after 2 weeks, they said, "You know, you should go to Miami. Go to Miami, you can get actually trained up there." So I said, all right. So I went to Miami. And was it 8 acres? Was it something like that? 8 acres? Eight and a half acres. And there was about 60 mango trees. There was banana trees and all kinds of tropical trees. And there was a little pond there we'd go swimming, and there was... It was Nindamastranja Forest. And I remember when I left L.A., I was looking for paradise. So I found paradise in Nindamastranja Forest. It was so nice, wasn't it? It was so nice in Nindamastranja Forest. So many nice devotees. Many of them are here in Alachua. So this is the power of hearing. And my first service was I was Tejo's Prakash's pot washer. And then Narahari came up to me. He was the president. Narahari, he said, "Are you bold?" I said, "Oh yeah, I can be." I guess that was a prerequisite. If you want to be a book distributor, you got to be bold. You know? So, yeah, I can be pretty bold. He said, "All right, we're going to try you on book distribution." So I went and I told Tejo, they want to put me on book distribution. He said, no, they got enough book distributors. You're doing fine." You want me to keep doing the pots? So then he finally relented. All right, yeah, I go. So that was 44 years ago. And it gets sweeter and sweeter. Book distribution. Panchagoda here, Prabhu, he was my Sankirtan leader. He taught me how to distribute Prabhupada's books. And then Panchagoda, he became the temple president, so Vijay, you be the Sankirtan leader. All right. And then he gave up the president, so Vijay, you be the president. All right. So, Narayan went to Hawaii. No, that's all right. So this is the mercy of Krishna. And Prabhupada said, if you want to please me, then stupid books. Because he knew that this knowledge will change people's lives. All over the world, to this day, people's lives are changing. I was in San Diego just maybe a year ago, distributing books at Balboa Park. Prabhupada went there and spoke. Some of you might remember that famous guy shouting, "I want sex more than once a month." Yeah. Prabhupada said, "Just like this person, he wants sex." Yeah, and he went up the whole thing. That was Balboa Park. So I was distributing at a table, and these three girls come to the table, and they're all crying. They're all crying, three of them. I said, "Why are you all crying?" They said, "Well, just 10 yards down the hallway, there's this violin player, and he's really good, so they're all crying because he's good." So I showed them the Bhagavad Gita, and they said, "You know, the violin player, he was good, but this is better. What you just showed us is better." So they all got a Bhagavad Gita. One of them gave $50 to cover all the costs for the Bhagavad Gita. And I, one of them was in San Diego, the other two in L.A. area. So I gave the L.A. or the San Diego person an invitation to our Thursday. We have something called Krishna Lounge, which is really nice. A lot of new people come. And so many people are coming and getting to hear about Krishna. Every week, new people are coming. It's really ecstatic. So this one girl, it was Thursday, it's coming up, but I gave them that invitation on Sunday. But this girl couldn't wait. She came on Tuesday. She came to the temple. And somehow me and Balaram, he's like the manager there, we were in the lobby, but we were never in the lobby. She came in, and she just spilled out her heart to us. She read the Bhagavad Gita all the way through. And just loved it. So I was just thinking, this is what happened to me. I read the Bhagavad Gita, I just, joined the temple. So I'm thinking, this person is like that. She could just join. But in San Diego, there's no facility. We have a small temple. There's no facility for women. Just brahmacharis. So I was thinking, where can we send her? So I called up Kalakanta. And there happened to be one spot left. They have they allow like 12 people for each semester. There was one spot open this semester. So I said, you can go down to Florida and you could learn all about Krishna. We're having a semester starting soon and there's one spot open, so you can go there. She said, "All right, I'm going." And she came. She went there. She was there for, I think, a few months. Now she's back in San Diego doing devotional service there. Victoria. So, by book distribution, people's lives are changing. Just like a year and a half ago, I gave a book also at the park there to this one young man from Russia, and he read it, and he's in San Diego now, and he's the biggest book distributor. He did better than me. I couldn't believe it. He's the biggest book distributor in San Diego now. He's doing huge. Last month he was number 38 in the world. And he just started book distribution. So, book distribution does not only make devotees, it makes book distributors also. Very auspicious. So yeah, it's the most auspicious thing happening now on the planet, is book distribution. Because it is what pleases Krishna the most. I was distributing books once at a university in Los Angeles, and this Muslim person came to the table. And I was showing the book to him, explaining it to him. And I said, I think Muslims are very religious people. I think you would appreciate it. And he told me, if I take this book home to my family, they'd kill me. Muslims are very strict about looking into any other religion. And even, believe it or not, said that if a Muslim joins another religion, that's cause for death. He can be killed. And Haridas Thakur, there's the example. He tried to kill him. He was a Muslim. And a Hare Krishna tried to kill him. But still like that. So he said, I can't possibly, even though it's interesting, I'm interested, it's nice. I can't possibly take it. So I told him, you know, God is more important than your family. And he was like, he had never heard that before. And he was shocked. And then he said, but you know, you're right. But he can't take the book. So then, the next day, he comes to me and says, oh, I'm so glad to see you. I wasn't sure if I'd see you again. You won't believe what happened last night. I'm sleeping. I have a dream. And my parents are very cruel to me, mean. And then the Bhagavad Gita shows up in this dream, and it's glowing, and it's beautiful. And I said, you see, God is more important than your family. Your family was cruel to you. And the Bhagavad Gita comes to you beautifully glowing, letting you know, this is God. He said, all right, I'll get it. So he got the Bhagavad Gita. An auspicious dream. I mentioned this yesterday in Gainesville. There's another amazing, so many amazing stories. I have a book now. It's called The Treasures of the Brihat Mridanga, filled with amazing stories. On its way, just now coming. It's taking quite a time to get it going. But this person, he was in Lithuania. And he had done some crimes. And he was wanted by the police. So he thought, better I leave this country. Eventually they're going to catch me. So he left. And he's traveling around Europe. And as he's traveling around Europe, he got on this spiritual quest. He started questioning, what's the goal of life? Why am I here? What's this all about? So he was talking to a lot of people. And again, people would say, you know, you should go to India. India is where you find out all your answers. And so many sadhus, saintly people, and all these Vedas. You should go to India. So he heard that again and again. So finally he decided, all right, I'm going to India. So he went to India. And he's going around and he's hearing different sadhus and saintly people and seeing different books. And then he got a science of self-realization. He read that and thought, ah, this is sitting nicely with me. This is what I want. And then he met some devotees from the Chapati temple. And he went to the temple there and he was very impressed with all the devotees and everything. Just everything, just loving. Eventually he was able to move in to the temple. Took initiation from Radha Swami eventually. So after about 4 years of not speaking to his mother, he called his mother and they're talking and said, oh, I forgot to tell you, I'm a monk now. She said, you're a monk? You're a monk? I can't believe it. What kind of a monk are you? He said, I'm a Hare Krishna monk. And she said, well, Hare Bol. And he said, how do you know Hare Bol? She said, I'm a devotee too. He said, well, how'd that happen? So one devotee was going door to door selling Bhagavad Gitas and it looked interesting. He made a nice presentation. And I read it and I was convinced. I'm an initiated devotee. And he was still a bhakta.
Who is that?
Oh, I don't remember his name. No. But these are some of the amazing things. The book distribution is a real interesting bacteria. It's an adventure. Yeah. Wonderful. Wonderful activity. You want me to continue? I was distributing books in Brisbane, door to door. And this person opened the door. He saw I had the Bhagavad Gita And he said, no, I'm not interested. I worship Satan. So I said, okay, well, this is all about God, so you should know your enemy. He said, all right, good point. All right, I'll buy it. So he gave a nice donation. He gave $20. Hopefully he understands eventually that God is his best friend, Satan is his enemy. I was distributing in Australia also, and it was a really tough afternoon, really difficult. So one thing that happens, one nice thing about book distribution is when you're having a difficult time, you take shelter of Krishna. Call Krishna, please. Please help me. I can't distribute these books, please help. So these four men came and I was explaining the Bhagavad Gita to them. And they all took Bhagavad Gita. Very interesting. This is a result of prayer in Krishna's Sanskrit. Book distribution can be very mystical. So I told them, you know, we're going to have a program here just in another half hour. We're going to have some singing and meditation. We're going to have some nice food. And you might find it interesting. So they all came. And they participated in the whole program. Kirtan, a lecture, and nice prasadam. Now none of them stayed or joined at that time. A year later, I went to the Melbourne temple, and one of those boys was at the Melbourne temple. He became a devotee. So this is always nice. Distributing books, you find out actually someone become a devotee. It's encouraging. I was distributing books in the Miami airport, and I approached this lady and this man. They had about a 9-year-old daughter. And I was explaining the book, and the lady said, oh yeah, I'm very interested in meditation and yoga. And she told her husband, give him a donation, I want this book. He said, nah, you're not going to read it, come on, let's go. She said, no, I want to read the book, give him a donation. Nah, it's just going to sit in the shelf, you're not going to read it. Come on. And she got upset and just walked away. And the little girl looked up at her father and she said, Daddy, I hate you. And as soon as she said that, you imagine that he's going to feel a little bad about it. So he reached into his pocket and gave me $10. And then the little girl grabbed the book and she's running down the aisle. Mommy, Mommy, I got the book. I hope that didn't cause a divorce or anything.
So good.
Another time, we were in Miami, and we were distributing books. And sometimes back in the 80s, people sometimes were a little envious. It practically doesn't happen anymore, But this one person, he was really very envious of the devotees. So he would go to people after we distributed the book to them and ask them, do you want to keep that book or do you want to give it to me? Sometimes they weren't that interested, they'd just give a donation there. So whenever he'd get a book that people didn't want to keep, he'd come right in front of the Sankirtan devotees and rip it up in front of the Sankirtan devotees. So I saw that once, and then I saw it twice, and thought, all right, I'm going to tolerate this guy anymore. So in Miami, our dear Panchagoda, he had good contacts. We had undercover cops. And he had good friends with the undercover cops. So I went up to one of them and said, we have this guy over here. He's harassing us like anything, ripping up our books in front of our face. He said, show me this guy. So we're walking towards this guy, and this guy walks up to the undercover cop and says, hey, don't buy a book from these guys. It's a cult. It's just the gurus up there collecting money. Don't get it. And the cop pulls out his badge and says, you got 2 seconds to get out of here. I'm going to take you to jail. And the guy just went, he went running. So it's always good to have undercover policemen on our side. So, any questions or comments? Yes.
First of all, very thank you for the nice class. On distributing of books, I have experienced, I've tried distributing books in India, and especially in my society where I live, by Gurgaon, by New Delhi. And every time I approach somebody, they say, oh no, I don't, I already have it, and I don't want, and and sometimes, in a very disrespectful way of towards Khan. But then what I did was, I tried putting those books on that, just the dashboard, and believe me, at least like 4-5 lakhs rupees of books I've, so far I've been distributing, but with my own money. But so I see people are interested taking the books, but they just don't want to pay for it. And every time I put, like, my kids are putting books on the dashboard in the, like, apartment reception or somewhere in the tables.
So you give the books to them?
Yeah. So we don't know who are those people who are taking. We just put the books, and, like, every day 10, 20 books we were putting, and within like 1 hour, 2 hours, they were gone. So it looks like people were interested, and we are still doing that, but we are doing it with our own money.
Okay.
But every time when we try to sell somebody, say, and try to approach, even just to approaching was very difficult, because they say, oh, no, we don't want, I know it's gone, and I know people, I know all this, I already have books and all that. So people are not, maybe there's an ego issue or something else. I don't know, especially in India, and especially people, I've seen people here are very respectful, but in India, it happens, and then, we chose this path, distributing books from our own money.
Mm-hmm.
So tell us if this is the right path or not so right, and what should I do?
Well, this is called Shastra Dan. This is good. Shastra Dan means distribution of literature. Shastra Dan, donation. So actually this goes on around the world, Shastra Dan. There's devotees that just donate money so that books can be put in libraries and put in coffee shops and beauty shops, so that people can just take the books and go. So you're doing Shastra Dan, that's all right. But again, as far as people giving donations, one has to be very sincere. You have to really pray to Krishna. I mean, there's devotees that, in the world, the biggest book distribution happening now is in India, and people give donations. They give donations. So purity is the force. But the most important thing is good sadhana. Good sadhana. Chant your 16 rounds before you go out. You read Prabhupada's books before you go out. This is where you get inspiration. And people see you inspired, and they become inspired to reciprocate with you. So, actually, there's an instance where a devotee told Prabhupada, we're going to teach the devotees how to distribute books. The technique of book distribution. And Prabhupada said, not necessary, because everybody has their different way. Just teach them to have good sadhana. If they have good sadhana, everybody will be able to distribute books in different ways. Just like right now, for the first time ever, now, just not too far from here, devotees are going out, parking lots, to schools, and they're selling full sets to people that don't know anything about Krishna. This Mahotsaha, he's the king of full set book distribution. He's here actually right now. He was here at Mangalarti. He led the Nisringa Day prayers this morning. He did 12 sets just a few days ago. And that's $300 a set. So figure it out. Figure out the math. What would that be? He's the top distributor in the world. So, good sadhana. And now there's bhaktins and bhaktas selling full sets to people that don't know anything about Krishna. So this is what's happening now, just in case you didn't. This is something that's never happened before in this book. It's happened. So, yeah. Maybe they just got a big church there in Atlanta. And there's a number of devotees. They're making devotees. There was one lady, she was in school to be a lawyer. And she got a book, and she was so inspired by the book. And then she met the devotees, and then she got also involved in book distribution. So now she just wants to distribute books. Forget the lawyer, I'm just going to distribute books. So this is what's happening in Atlanta. Yes, Mataji.
What do the children sell a set?
Yeah, I asked him, and he said, well, I just tell them, you know, it's about, you know, Lord Nrsingadev, and it's about, you know, the Kumaras, and, you know. it's the enthusiasm. He's just got this, he's got an incredible amount of enthusiasm. And he's very jolly. Very enthusiastic and very jolly. But, yeah. Yes, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. So, again, welcome to lecture.
Thank you.
A nice association. I have two short Sanskritan stories with Muslims.
Okay.
One was back in the 80s when I was in Guyana. We were distributing full sets of Bhagavatam, so we got the one Muslim priest, he took a full set of Bhagavatam, and he introduced it into his Muslim community, his mosque, and it became a huge problem. They wanted to kill him.
Wow.
But his brother was one of the richest person in that country at the time. So they had to have like guards for him. Anyway, long story short, they were so adamant about it because he was using references from Prabhupada's books when he was preaching in his mosque.
Wow.
And they ended up in the court because he was always in touch with me, so one day he said, well, this is what's going on. So I said, well, why don't you save your life and give up your books? So he said, no, that's
why don't you save your life?
Save your life and give up Prabhupada's books.
Uh-huh, okay.
Because they wanted to kill him.
Yeah.
He said, no, that's not going to happen. That these books are actually the ones that are saving my life right now. So he was so attached to this Bhagavatam. I don't know, he was old, and that was way back in the 80s, so probably passed away by now. So anyway, we have a second story with...
So what happened? He just kept on... He probably didn't continue being a priest there, right?
Well, they wanted to kick him out, but he was one of the owners of the building.
Oh.
Because it was his family who actually, you know, donated the building for the mosque. Uh-huh. So like that, he had some kind of a right to stay there. But they were, you know, there were huge problems. They ended up in court and all of that. Yes, Indian body is Muslim. So, anyway, several years ago, we used to do Ratayatras in Nashville, Tennessee. There's this park. It's called a celebration of cultures. About 40,000 people will be here from all different cultures. So, the devotees were invited there too. So, the first time we went, after the Ratayatra, which is right around the park, is about a mile around, then they gave us a spot, we set up the cart, we had the stage on, and that was our big cart where Srila Prabhupada was sitting under, like the platform under, Srila Prabhupada was sitting there. So after the Ratayatra, we set up there, and then somebody came to the cart and was shaking Prabhupada. His holy Prabhupada said, I want to ask you a question. So then a Muslim lady came in full Muslim attire, she and her family, and she started explaining to the man before I could have said anything. She came up, she said, no, that he's not alive, that his name is Prabhupada, he's the founder of this movement, this is a statue of him. And she starts to explain about Krishna consciousness to this person, and she said, well, just before that, she actually went up on the cart and she offered obeisance to she and her entire family. She had an entire Muslim wear and everything like that. And she was explaining to this person. that, you know, who this man is. And then next to him, we have books, and she said, these are his books, and she started talking about his books. Next thing, she started to distribute books. And so many people were coming, my wife doesn't remember, Leelananda Prabhu was one of the, I had to appoint him as a guard. We had one guard on one side of Srila Prabhupada and one on the other side. And they stood there from 2 o'clock in the afternoon until about 5:30. And this lady and some of her friends, they were talking to people, and people were buying books constantly. That's this Muslim person, it was amazing.
She was
Middle Eastern? Yes, Middle Eastern, fully.
Did you find out? Maybe she's just undercover.
I don't know, but because she was
speaking. But she had read books before?
Well, apparently so. Apparently yeah. She read books. Yeah, she was speaking in English and in her Arabic or something to some of her Muslim people.
Wow.
And she got so much of them. Eventually, this crowd starts gathering, and we had a line that takes you about 25 to 30 minutes to get up to Prabhupada, really hard for us. And it was so nice, it was really amazing how, you know, they did it. No, everybody is favorable with them. Yeah, I mean, I think, yeah, or maybe this part was open.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Thank you, Vijay Prabhu. It's very inspiring. I remember many years back in Naperville, I was a reluctant book distributor. I mean, I was reluctant to book distribution, and once I attended your evening class, and I took up some book distribution then. And it's always inspiring, your emails which you sent out about all the Sankirtan experiences. And when is your book coming? I just want to check.
Just now coming. Naperville?
Naperville, yeah. We moved from Naperville in 2019 here.
Naperville, that's California?
No, Illinois. Suburbs of Chicago.
Oh, Chicago.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
We came there 2015 or 2017.
Oh, okay.
Thank you.
If anybody wants, I have a website. I send out stories and realizations and stuff. You could give me your email and I could add you. Okay. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.